Praise the Lord. Man, we could never praise Him too much. He is so worthy, and we are so privileged to know Him. We do have a wonderful, just a wonderful hope in the Lord, and so thankful for what God has shown us, that we can be here, that we can worship, that we can praise Him. Oh, praise the Lord. Our God is good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here as we begin here tonight. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great and wonderful privilege that you've given us, Lord. Oh, Lord, we thank you that we can praise you while we're here on this earth, God. Oh, Lord, that we can join in joyful song, singing unto thee, worshiping thee, praising thee, Lord, acknowledging thee, Lord. We thank you that you called us up out of the pit, Lord. Oh, God, that you gave us a reason to live. Oh, God, that you give us hope, oh, Lord, beyond this world. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you and praise you, God, for this opportunity, oh, God, to look into your word. Oh, God, we're pilgrims and strangers down here, Lord. We all have needs, oh, God. But, oh, Lord, you are able to meet them, Lord. You are able to work in our hearts. You are able, oh, God, to break the strongholds that need to come. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray, oh, Lord, that, oh, Lord, you would use this word. Oh, God, that you talk to each and every one of our hearts. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that the devil would be bound in all his antics and all this discouragement and all the hindrances, oh, Lord, that he tries to put upon your people. I pray, oh, God, that you'd lift us up, that you'd put us into heavenly places with you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you'd use this word, God. Oh, Lord, that you'd anoint this word. Oh, God. Oh, God, that it would go far and near, Lord Jesus, and it'd reach down and touch those hearts that need this message, God. I pray, oh, God, that you'd reach down and touch individuals, Lord, who have not yet given their lives to you. Oh, God, and oh, Lord, that you'd reach down and meet the needs of your people, Lord. Oh, God, give us that joyful hope in thee, Lord. Oh, God, give us the response that we need, Lord. And I pray that you'd use this word to draw us close unto thee, oh, Lord, to overcome. Oh, Lord, to be more like you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we praise you, Lord. I ask that you'd use it. I could do nothing without you, Lord. I pray that you'd give me the words and the thoughts, that you direct this message, oh God. I ask that you bless the hearers, Lord. Oh God, help us as individuals. Help us, Lord, as we walk this road. Oh God, help us, Lord, to rightly discern the times that we live in, Lord. And oh God, help us, oh Lord, to do what we can for the cause of thy kingdom, Lord, while we yet have a little time. Pray that you speak to us, Lord. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, let the devil be bound. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise our Lord. Praise our Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise our God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I guess I could say this message here tonight was inspired by a question that was just recently asked me. Sister Sharon, I know you've asked me some questions and you bring me to these points of thought. Praise the Lord. But also, a few months ago, I was speaking to a very dear friend. Her name is Evelyn, and she has since went home to be with the Lord. But in our conversation, she was telling me about an experience, and it had just happened in this situation. She was sick for a long, long time and had different things, but the last months were certainly the hardest. And I know she had some wonderful days in the midst of it and some very, very hard days. But this one day we were talking over the phone, and she mentioned that a woman had traveled from another state, I believe it was from Alabama, to be with her on this occasion. And This lady brought a lot of things with her. She made Evelyn a meal. She made her a soup, as I recall, and pudding. And, oh, I believe there was a nice drink that she made. And you know, she did things, you know, like rub her back, if I recall. And she brought some very special lotion with her. And you know, it was a beautiful day that Evelyn described to me. But, you know, Evelyn also requested, when she was telling me these details, she said, please tell it to the people how much it means when somebody comes, when you're down and out, and ministers to you. Oh, when you have needs, and sometimes it's so discouraging and so hard. She said, please tell them, Shirley, please tell them what it means to have somebody come and pick up your day and do nice things for you and fix you a meal and you know, just help you in so many ways. And I know it was a very beautiful day for her, and I thank God for, oh wow, the wonderful blessing that I had in knowing Evelyn. Praise the Lord. But I'm so glad that, oh Lord, we can help one another, that God has made it possible that we, by love, can serve one another. Praise the Lord, that's what I'm going to call this message, by love, serve one another. I know last week we talked about Jesus and the light that he is and the light that he puts within us. And I just would like to just start with that verse. I went here last week, I believe, but Matthew chapter 5. And we'll just read these very few verses here. Matthew chapter 5, and we will start with verse 14. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. In verse 16, I want us to hear this verse right now. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord, that light that Jesus Christ has put within our hearts, that light that he gives us when he fills us with the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, it should be so bright. Even though we be tiny, yet he puts his light within us so that we can shine before men, and that, you know, those that are without can see something in us that they need and desire it. And by our good works also glorify our Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, he puts that within us so that we can shine, so that we can make an impact in this world. Amen. Oh, yes. You know, Jesus was only on this earth 3.5 years. But his wonderful plan was that he was going to send back his Spirit, the gift of the Holy Ghost, so that he could abide in the hearts of his people, in the hearts of his disciples, that he could shine through his people, and the works that he did, we can do also. Praise the Lord. He said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto the Father. Praise the Lord. That glorious plan, so that we can continue that which Jesus Christ began. And I know we've said it many times, the book of Acts is still in continuance. Praise the Lord. Yes, it began with Jesus' ascension into heaven. But praise the Lord, it goes on to continue with the works that the disciples, the apostles did following that moment when Jesus was no longer on this earth. But praise the Lord, on that day of Pentecost, he sent back his Spirit. He sent back the Holy Ghost. So yes, we could be that light in this world. Oh, that can shine forth so that they can see the works of God through us. Praise the Lord, and therefore glorify our Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turning now to Mark, the 10th chapter, just a few verses here in Mark chapter 10. Praise the Lord. I'll start with verse 42 here. Mark 10, verse 42. But Jesus called to him and saith unto him, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And you know, we're just going to look at that word minister here for a moment. The word minister means to be a servant, an assistant, an helper. Oh yes, yes. And as children of the Lord, we are called to be ministers. And praise the Lord, you know, God did not set up his kingdom with a great hierarchy and, you know, lords over God's people and, you know, just, you know, people just, you know, taking the bull by the horns to the long length that, you know, they exercise great authority over God's people. No, he puts his Spirit in all of us. And yes, he does. Yes, he does have a church, and there are people in leadership that, yes, have that capacity to guide. But we're not lords over God's heritage, and this is not to be. But he explains it in verse 43, reading it again. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, your servant, in other words. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Oh, Jesus, our great example. Oh, yes, he didn't come. Oh, yes, to receive praises. And oh, yes, to have banners put upon him. And oh, yes, to be greatly known as a king. You know, he didn't come in that manner. But he came to minister, to be a servant, and to give his life a ransom for all, or for many, it says here in this verse. Praise the Lord, all that the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if our Savior is our example, then yes, we can take it to heart and realize that was his purpose in coming to this world. To be a servant, to be a minister. And in so doing, he was going to give his life a ransom for many, those that he would call. Praise the Lord. Our God is good, and what a precious Savior. He could have come, you know, with great pomp and circumstance. You know, he could have made it known, you know, to all, declared it in such a way that they all would have realized who he was. But no, he didn't make that kind of pronouncement. You know, he didn't wear some kind of, you know, garments. He didn't have a great crown on his head, you know, that would make him look like he was a king. No, he came as a lowly servant. Oh, yes, to help whomsoever he could. Oh, yes, to heal the sick. Oh, yes, to deliver those that were bound. Oh, yes, to cast out the devils. Oh, yes, to bring forth the word, to minister in every way he could, and ultimately giving his life for his people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are going to now turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. And praise the Lord. I We have a lot of places to go tonight, so I'm trusting the Lord to put this together and to help me. Praise the Lord. Okay, going here to Ephesians, the second chapter. Praise the Lord, you're reading a portion of this chapter. Praise the Lord, I love this first portion, and we're going to read it. It says in verse 1, Ephesians chapter 2, "And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And praise the Lord, if you've been made free by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you've been made alive by the saving grace of our Lord, indeed you can rejoice. And he's addressing those people there in the church of Ephesus who had been quickened or made alive by the saving grace of our Lord and Savior. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Yes, we were all out there at one point, and we were dead in our trespasses and sins. It describes it in verse 2, "wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." We were all out there. And he's talking about that time past when we didn't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We hadn't yet been quickened. We hadn't yet been made alive by his saving grace. And we were all out there. We'd all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And, you know, he describes it. He walked according to the course of this world, you know, doing what, you know, the natural man wants to do. And, you know, according to you, that prince of the power of the air, the old devil who, you know, would take us around by the, you know, the nose and, you know, put thoughts in our hearts and minds and, you know, drag us around. And yeah, that's how most people are at this point. They're out there and they're walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And it says the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Oh, that contrary negative spirit of the old devil that's walking around seeking whom he may devour, whom we are to resist steadfast in the faith. And verse 3 goes on to say, "among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh." Oh, we were all out there, none excluded from this description here. We're all out there. Our conversation, our conduct was just according to the natural man and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and all of that. That's how we walked. That's how we lived. That's how we thought. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, because of that contrariness brought condemnation to our life. And we were walking, all of us out there, at one point in this manner. But praise the Lord, there was a calling from Almighty God. He called to our hearts, you know, in such a way that suddenly our eyes begin to see and our ears begin to hear and our minds begin to pick up on the fact that we needed Jesus. Oh, and that we needed to come to him and be saved. That we needed to repent and turn from our willful, disobedient ways. So verse 4 tells us, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Oh yes, that realization, that moment when he called us and he brought us into that saving grace and he quickened our spirits, our hearts, our minds, oh, so that we could perceive and embrace his saving grace. Praise the Lord, he quickened us. Oh yes, filled us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And yes, we could be quickened together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when we come here, be it small or many, oh, to come here and worship the Lord and praise our God and meditate upon our God. Oh, yes, we are in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He walks among us. He talks to our hearts. Oh, yes, he's so worthy of our praises. And it's such a privilege to come together to see that he hath raised us up so that we can be together, that we can sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, those places where his presence is. Oh, praise the Lord. That place, oh yes, where his presence is, there's fullness of joy in that place. When his presence comes down, and oh, we know without a shadow of a doubt that he's there in our very midst. Oh, praise the Lord, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. Praise the Lord. And sometimes it's just one, you know, with the Lord in our little prayer closet, crying out to the Lord. But praise the Lord, he comes and talks to us. He comes and sits with us. Oh, yes. Oh, he consoles us. Oh, yes. He gives us reassurance. He gives us peace. Praise the Lord. He comes and sits with us. Oh, yes. When we meditate upon his word. Oh, yes. And think about the good things of God. Oh, yes. And rejoice in our salvation. Oh, praise the Lord. His presence comes down. Oh, his presence comes down. And it floods our souls. Oh, praise the Lord. And there's a peace that he gives us, a peace that passes all understanding. Praise the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Fullness of joy when we're in the presence of the Lord. Goes on to say in verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Our life here on earth is short. But oh, there are ages to come. Oh, eternal ages, an age that will never end. Praise the Lord. And what is our God going to do? He's going to show us the exceeding, oh, the abundant, oh, the overflowing riches of his grace and his kindness toward us. Grace that we could have never deserved. Oh, yes. Rewards that there's no way we could comprehend in our present state. But that's what's waiting in the people of the Lord. And he goes on to say in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, praise the Lord. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it wasn't our own works that could save us. No, it was God's grace, that undeserved favor that he showed us. In fact, there was nothing we could do to merit that. It wasn't of our works. Otherwise, we would boast of our works. And that's not what saved us. But it was his marvelous grace that he saved us through faith. Praise the Lord. Our acceptance of that grace. And praise the Lord, he takes us, he makes a new creation within us. That 10th verse says, for we are his workmanship. We belong to Jesus. It's his work that he does through us. Praise the Lord, it says created in Christ Jesus. Oh, I like that word created. It means to make from nothing. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's what he takes. He takes our nothingness. He takes our old life that, you know, was really going nowhere. It makes new creatures out of us. Praise the Lord. And it says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Oh, yes, because we are his workmanship, because we are his creation. Oh, yes, there are going to be good works that follow our lives because we belong to Jesus and he puts it within us to want to do as much as we can for the kingdom of God's sake. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, our wonderful God who has helped us in so many amazing, wonderful ways. And he puts it within us, oh yes, to want to serve him with all our hearts. Oh yes, to want to be fruitful, to want to do his will. And praise the Lord, he takes our lives, he makes something good out of us. And you know, again, we had nothing to give him. We were just in our trespasses and sins, we were dead. We had nothing that we could merit to earn our salvation. But God works in us to make us acceptable to the beloved, and so that when we stand before him, we're going to have fruit to offer him. Praise the Lord, fruit to give back. But it's all because of him. It's all because he is working in our lives. And the credit, the glory, the praise can never go to us. It's all because of Jesus and what he has done in our lives. Praise the Lord. And he gives us principles to live by. If we look briefly here at Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 12 tells us, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 tells us, therefore all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Praise the Lord. That is the principle that even the law and the prophets were hanging on. You know that you treat individuals the way you would like to be treated, with that kind of respect and that kind of regard. Whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Then he went on to explain in verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh my, you know, what a privilege, what a blessing it is if we can see, if we can walk the road that Jesus walked, if we can enter in at that straight gate. Praise the Lord, it tells us here that there are few that find it. Most people are going the broad way. Oh yes, they've entered in at the wide gate, and that's their philosophy of life. That's their way. They're walking it and not realizing that it leads to destruction. It says, many there be which go in thereat. On the contrary, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, what a blessing, what a privilege, what a marvel it is if we can see if God has made it possible for us to walk that narrow way. Oh, we need to praise and thank the Lord continuously. Praise the Lord. Verse 15 tells us, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You're either a good tree or a corrupt tree. And you know, a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. But a good tree is going to bring forth good fruit. Oh, praise the Lord. And then it tells us, verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Oh, praise the Lord, time will tell. You know, some of them, you know, appear as false prophets at the first. You know, in sheep's clothing, so it seems. But boy, their fruit is going to bear witness of what they really are deep down inside. Oh, it will reveal the motives, the intentions of the heart. And it will tell by and by if those fruits are corrupt or if they are good. And yes, as it explains in verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm turning now to Matthew, the 25th chapter. And we're going to go into this parable that Jesus taught here. And this is a very significant one. I think these are one of the points that Evelyn wanted me to share. Praise the Lord. She was a very dear woman. And, oh, we had some wonderful talks together. And I can just, you know, appreciate that so much. I know we said we didn't get to meet here on earth, but you know, we're hoping by and by there that we'll have wonderful time together there in that land beyond the sea, beyond the skies. Praise the Lord, that land that the Lord has reserved for his people, that new Jerusalem that's coming down from God out of heaven. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's look here at Matthew 25. Let's start with verse 31. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And, you know, we can see right away, there's quite a contrast. The first time Jesus came, he came, you know, as an infant, as a child, as an unknown, and there was no room for him. It was so lowly that they had to find a place in a stable for him and lay him in a manger, you know, the trough that the animals would eat from. That's how he came into this world the first time. But when he comes back, he's coming in glory. And all the holy angels with him. And it's going to be time for judgment at that moment. Yes, it describes it here. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Oh, what a moment. You know, our life down here is short, but oh my, what we do determines our eternal destination. And oh, how we want to be that sheep that's on his right hand. Oh yes, here it's describing that time when all is known, all becomes very clear. You're either a sheep or you're a goat, either on the right hand or on the left. It tells us in verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Well, what is life all about? Jesus came to minister, to give his life a ransom for many. And yes, he put it within his people to also be to be ministers. Oh yes, to do whatever we can to help the other travelers going down the road, our brothers and sisters of the Lord, and those even that are without, who knows who it is. I think, oh, it's such a description here. I'm sure there are other facets of our ministry that aren't mentioned here. But what a privilege to serve the Lord. And these kind of helps to other people, this kind of service to other people, means so much to our God that he said, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Praise the Lord, those little kind deeds that maybe go unnoticed are noticed by our God. Praise the Lord, he sees those steps that we do. You know, those moments when we step out of our way to help somebody else. The Lord sees it and regards it very highly. And what a privilege it is to help another human being. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's a wonderful gift if we can be of service, be a minister unto those that are also walking this road of life. Praise the Lord. And you know, we don't always know. You know, we're told in the book of Hebrews that, you know, we needed, you know, just, you know, to go ahead and not to be afraid to entertain strangers. For it declares that some have entertained strangers unaware. You know, it is possible. Abraham had that privilege. The 18th chapter of the book of Genesis tells us how Abraham was able to minister in a very specific way. And it's quite a story. You know, he was there relaxing in the heat of the day there in front of his tent. And he noticed that there were three travelers coming down the road. And obviously it came into his heart to do whatever he could to help those travelers. They got closer and closer and closer. And yes, that moment came when they were up to the place where he was sitting there, the door of his tent in the heat of the day. And yes, they came and they stood by him. And you know, when he saw them, it says he ran to meet them from the tent door, very eager to embrace them. And he bowed himself toward the ground. He didn't have a big, high and lofty attitude by any means. And you know, he said to them, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And praise the Lord, he went fast. He hastened on to make haste to do what he had declared. He went to Sarah, his wife, and told her to make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth there. And so he ran into the herd, it tells us, and he fetched a calf tender and good. He gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. You know, not only did he rush to greet these individuals, but he gave them the best. He went to find, you know, a very tender and good calf. You know, I'm sure Sarah was using the finest of meal to make these cakes. And, you know, he was just thinking, what can I give them? You know, the very best, butter and milk. That calf, which he had the young man take and make ready, and it was dressed and, prepared. And, you know, he set the food all before them, and they did eat. And, you know, the amazing thing is one of those 3 travelers was actually the Lord with a message for Abraham and for Sarah. And how he would have missed it if he had not welcomed them and had them come and eat with them. How he would have missed it. Oh my. And what a privilege it was. And could it be that the other 2 were angels? Oh, what he would have missed if he would have just let them pass by, if he would have just ignored them. Oh my, sometimes we don't know what we might have missed. You know, there might have been an opportunity that just maybe didn't even dawn on us, or we avoided. And it could have been something else if we would have just, you know, thought a little bit beyond and anticipated it perhaps, or even, you know, embraced the moment and let the Lord work in his very special way. Praise the Lord. But that is such a wonderful example of how Abraham embraced the strangers and took them in and washed their feet and you know, gave them things to make their visit very pleasant. The very best that he could, I feel. Praise the Lord, and how God honored that, and oh my, the good things that followed, the wonderful message that God had to declare to Abraham and his wife Sarah. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we don't know. I know years ago we were so blessed with a certain couple, Brother Mick and Sister Pat, who came and were among us for a season. And, you know, not only was Brother Mick able to minister in the pulpit, at some points he was a very good teacher. He taught on some Sunday mornings, and praise the Lord, we loved his ministry. But they did as many wonderful things for us as they possibly could. I can still look at my house and see the shelves that they had put up in many places, and you know, there were windows that they had installed for us, and at one time they bought us a sofa, and I still remember Sister Pat coming to the door and realizing I really didn't have any help, but I had children, quite a few children, and homeschooling, and very, very busy in a church, and you know, she came as a servant to help minister, and you know, I just couldn't help but appreciate such blessings as this wonderful couple gave us. You know, and I know there's many of you, oh yes, even online here tonight, who have been such a blessing to myself, my family, this church, and praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing to think, oh yes, that we are all ministers together. All these little things that we do are a blessing that the Lord sees and knows, even though, you know, it might have been done in secret without hardly any acknowledgement. God has seen it. God acknowledges it. And oh, wow, what blessings come forth from such ministering. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it tells us here in Matthew chapter 25, oh yes, he said to those that had ministered, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Oh, praise the Lord. But on the other hand, tells us in verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Oh, the judgment seat of Christ, and we all stand before the Lord, and all our works come to the light. Oh, whether they were wrought in God or whether they were wrought in self. Oh, it all comes to the light at that moment. I think of a really exciting story in the book of Acts, chapter 9, when talks of a woman whose name was Tabitha, and also we know her as Dorcas. This is in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. And this is part of Peter's ministry. And it tells us here in verse 36 in Acts, the 9th chapter, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to him. Oh, they fetched for Peter, this dear woman that they loved so greatly, who had done all these wonderful, kind deeds, was now dead. But they go to get Peter. And it tells us, then Peter arose, verse 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. See, you know, you can't enumerate all the things that are possible. There's so many things that we could do, little things, bigger things, but whatsoever our hand findeth to do, we're supposed to do it with all our might. You know, it doesn't matter. If we do it unto God, you know, you're not doing it to be seen of man. We're doing it unto God and to help our fellow man or woman. Praise the Lord, boy or girl or whoever it is that needs some help. And so here Peter came upon the scene, and oh, they show him all the wonderful things that Dorcas had made while she was yet with them. It's interesting. In verse 40 it says, but Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Praise the Lord. God heard Peter's cry. And he cast out the unbelief. I have to note that. But then he kneeled down and he prayed. Oh, I'm sure that fervent prayer of a righteous man, which availeth much, praise the Lord. He turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. Praise the Lord heard it. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. Oh, praise the Lord. But what an exciting story. Oh, yes, this work which led many others to believe in the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, the good deeds that this woman had done continued. Praise the Lord. But you could see there the fruit of such things that she had done for the sake of other individuals that she had done unto God. But on the other hand, God sees all the other things that are troublesome. And in the time when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness, there was a moment that they were greatly hindered by the Amalekites. And they did a kind of a sneak attack. They would come behind them and smite the people that were lagging behind, the feeble or the older people that were there in the back, there in the big crowd that was going through the wilderness there, the children of Israel. And it tells us that they didn't fear God. Well, it might have seemed that they just managed to do that and nothing was said or nothing was done to change the situation. But God saw it and God witnessed it. And it came down many years later. Saul was king of Israel. And it came into God's remembrance. And it was an assignment that Saul, the king, was given to go and smite the Amalekites, and to not to leave even one of them. It was something that needed to be completed, yet something that hadn't yet been done, this avengement that was needed. Yes, because they had done terrible things to God's people. And it might have seemed like it wasn't, taken care of at that moment. But God didn't forget. And yes, it came to that moment when Saul was given that assignment to go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and to spare them not, but to slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And so, it's a bit of a story. Samuel had to intervene a little bit there because he kept some of the good things and he kept Agag. And, Samuel took care of all of this. But the point was that God had witnessed their nastiness, the dreadful things that they had done unto his children. And there came that time when, yes, judgment was going to come upon them because of it. And interesting, in that 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, it also mentions the Kenites. And I find that interesting because, on the other hand, the Kenites had been helpful to the children of Israel. And Saul clearly told them before he went on to fight the Amalekites, he told the Kenites to leave that area lest they would be destroyed, because they had showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they had come out of Egypt. So the Kenites did depart from among the Amalekites. So you see the great contrast. And we realize how God is witness to all these things. And you know, it's to such an extent that we're told in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 42, "And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward." Praise the Lord, God sees even that, a drink of cold water in the name of a disciple, that little deed would be rewarded. Praise the Lord, that's our God, oh, who just clearly sees and knows it all and keeps very accurate records. Oh, praise the name of the Lord, praise our God. Praise the Lord. Going to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting with verse 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Here we're talking about attitudes, our attitudes in giving and sowing and in what we do for the sake of the kingdom of God. And here, yes, it talks these things that we purpose in our heart. So let us do it. So let him give. But attitude here, not grudgingly. I hate to think of doing this. Oh, it's, you know, not really that I want to, but, you know, I guess I got to. No, God doesn't respect that kind of giving. Or of necessity, it says here, not grudgingly. Or of necessity. No, God loveth a cheerful giver. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the attitude that he expects us to have, that a cheerfulness to give from our heart, because it's within us, that desire to minister and to help another human being. Praise the Lord, because Jesus has given us so much. And we just want to give back what we can with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, with all our strength to do his will, to help other people as we can. And wow, probably not really realizing that these little things that we do, if we could do it with the right attitude, with the right heart, with cheerfulness, that we're doing it unto God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Galatians. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5. Praise our God. Galatians chapter 5. And here I'm going to start with verse 13. It says in verse 13, Galatians chapter 5, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." And of course, true sense of liberty is freedom from sin. Praise the Lord. You know, as long as we're living in sin, we're the servant of sin. And we're the servant of the devil, in other words. But here, Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh," you know, for a wrong reason, wrong attitude. But here we have it. "But by love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Oh, these attitudes that get in the way, these attitudes that destroy churches, that, you know, make Christianity look like something that it should never be. Well, it's not true Christianity at all if there's these kind of things going on. But instead, it tells us in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." As long as we're walking in the will of God, walking with the Lord, listening to His voice, letting Him lead us, letting Him guide us, praise the Lord, we're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He's not going to lead us wrong. If we're walking in faith, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're listening to the voice of God, if we're applying the Scripture, if we're putting it in our heart, it says, "Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If you're walking in the Spirit, praise the Lord. If you're walking with God, praise the Lord. And then it explains, verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." Oh, there's that internal war that's going on. You know, the flesh that wants to do this. But the gentle Spirit of our living God, it's tugging in our hearts and pulling us away from disaster and the things that are contrary to His will, and helping us try and to motivate us and change us. So yes, we hear His voice and we do His will, and we don't walk after the lust of the flesh. That tug of war that goes on. Yes, it explains, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Oh, the things that are in your heart and the things that the flesh wants to do. But praise the Lord, learning, oh, to give heed to that still small voice that speaks to our soul. Oh, that inspiration of the Holy Ghost that comes into our being when He fills us with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. He said, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." Praise the Lord. We're freed from the law if we're letting the Lord work in our hearts. And then he goes on to name some of the works of the flesh. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Oh, we can see how the two kingdoms are so contrary, the one to the other. Oh, yes, that old world concept. Oh, that, you know, the things of the flesh, that old man concept, you know, that wants to walk the way of mankind and please itself and you know, live for the moment, live for the day. And, you know, have all these works. These works of the flesh that come forth. But on the other hand, it tells us in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Oh yes, the old man has to go. Those old tendencies, those old things of the flesh have to go. for serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, we crucify the flesh with the affections and lust, those things that were once part of our nature, our human nature. Praise the Lord, when we give our life over to the Lord, we begin to see more and more, greater and greater, how we need to serve the Lord and put off the old man, put off all these other things that are works of the flesh. And if that is in us, then by love, we serve one another. We help one another. We minister one to another. That's what becomes a part of our life. You know, that desire to do works that come from God. Oh, works that will help individuals, that will be a ministry to somebody else. And it says in verse 14 again, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh yes, learning. Oh yes, to esteem one another and to think of one another, to help bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the love of Christ, to put on charity, which shall hide a multitude of sins. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, to have the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, it's all going to come forth. You know, we read that portion of Scripture. You know, a tree is either going to be corrupt or it's going to be good. A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. But a good tree cannot bring corrupt fruit. It's either one or the other. We're either going to be regarded as a sheep on the right hand, the judgment, or the goats on the left hand. Oh, it's one way or the other. Either our lives please the Lord and are fruitful. Otherwise, we are living unto ourselves, and the works of the Spirit are not abounding in our hearts. Oh, yes. It tells us in the 6th chapter of Galatians, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. See, we're here in this world, we've got this short life, and we're sowing one way or the other. We're either a good tree that's going to bring forth good fruit, or we're a corrupt tree which is going to bring forth evil, rotten fruit. We're sowing one way or the other. It tells us here clearly, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It's all going to be clear. It's all going to be opened before the living God. It's going to be manifest. He's going to know. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, there's moments when it seems hard, and sometimes we might be trying to help somebody and it might seem like they don't appreciate it, and we might wonder if we're doing it in vain. But here we're admonished, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Oh, if we just could continue, if we can just, you know, oh, go forward and do the will of our God. And verse 10 tells us, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Oh, praise the Lord. I think this verse explains, oh, that great need. To whom do we help? Who is our neighbor? Oh, yes, who is our fellow servant? It explains here, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God sees and he knows and he hears. And oh, yes, there's going to be that day when we stand before him. And oh, yes, He saw those things that we did unto him. Oh, that person that was hungry, we fed. That person that was thirsty, we gave to drink. That stranger that we took in. Oh, that one that was naked and we gave them clothes. That individual who was in prison and we came to see him. Oh, or her. Oh, the Lord sees all those things. Oh, that individual who was sick and wanted and needed help. What a privilege. The Lord uses us as his servants. Oh, yes, to go forth and help one another, to serve one another. Oh, yes, with the right attitude. Oh, yes, with an appropriate attitude, you know, not grudgingly, you know, not because we have to, not out of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver, and what we do, we want to do it unto the Lord. He who sees it all, he who knows it all, and he who will reward us according to his judgment, according to his ability to comprehend our life and our living. Praise the Lord. And oh, how we want to be that sheep on his right hand. Praise the Lord. Hear him say, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of these, the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Oh, praise the Lord. We can serve the Lord. We can serve him by serving one another. That example that he gave us. Oh, the Son of Man, our Savior, who came to this world not to be ministered to, not to be esteemed, not to be thought of as some great one by any means. No, he came to minister, to be a servant, and to give his life a ransom for many. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, he said, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. All the things that we can do to help one another, the ways that we can by love serve one another. Praise the Lord. Oh, our precious God, I'm so thankful for his word. I'm so thankful for the things that he puts in our hearts. I'm so thankful that he got a hold of us and all that we could change and we could come to him, that he could take our sins. Oh, as we repented and turned it over to God. Praise the Lord. We have the privilege of being baptized through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And yes, we have that promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord when he comes in. Oh, yes, that he might abide with us forever. Praise the Lord, that comforter, that spirit of the living God, so that we can go forth and accomplish the things that need to be accomplished, the things that the Lord would have us to do. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, in his stead, as light of the world, that men may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. The one who came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you glad tonight? Are you rejoicing in our God? Oh, praise the Lord. We have moments. Oh, there's something that all of us can do. Oh, would it be maybe just a simple prayer? It might be a letter. It might be a note. Oh, it might be a way we can make a meal for somebody. But God makes it possible that we can help our fellow travelers in this world, and by love serve one another. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Work in us, Lord. Help us, God. Oh, help us to put on Christ, Lord. And oh, God, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Help us to walk in the Spirit, Lord. And oh, God, do your will, Lord, and live for you, God. Oh, God, and do service, oh, God, unto you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord. Work in us, talk to us, move in us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise our God. Amen. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Oh, we could never praise you enough, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank our God. Amen. Thank you, God. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to turn to number 86 in the chorus book and sing, I'm Going to Work and Watch and Pray, number 86. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. Work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm gonna work and watch and pray. I'm gonna serve Him every day. I'm gonna see His face in glory by and by. I'm gonna listen to His voice. I'm gonna make His will my choice. I'm gonna rise to meet Him in the morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And you're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Lord.